ongoing sound on one of these.
This is an interview with Beth Joseph for the YSU Young Jewish Senior Citizens Project by Carrie Stanton at the Jewish Community Center on Gypsy Lane in Youngstown, Ohio on December the 7th, 1983 at approximately 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. Okay. We usually ask, you know, your background, where you came from, and your parents, and where you were born, and, you know, that kind of thing. Okay.
Will you ask me, and then I'll
start? Okay. Well, just talk, you know, just talk away. Tell me where you were from.
I am Bess Joseph. Mm-hmm. I live at 1310 Fifth Avenue, Park 5. I have three children. Shirley Kessler, Florence Merkin, and Dr. Charles Greenblatt. And I remarried after my first husband died. I was married to Hyman Greenblatt, who was state commander of the Jewish War Veterans of Youngstown. And he was one of the first starters of the Jewish Center here when they were still on Bryson Street, when they were just beginning. And then I remarried after Ty died. I remarried 3 years later, and I married Nick Joseph. And he has two daughters and a son. So I have a beautiful family. Of course, they were all grown when I married him, so my children were much younger.
Where are your parents from?
Well, my parents, I came from Lithuania.
Really?
When I was 6 years old.
Do you remember anything about Lithuania?
Well, I remember we lived in a very little village, and of course, living there, you live almost in a one-room house, and it's your bedroom, your kitchen, your dining room. It's all in one room. And we had a brick oven where you did your baking, but then in the winter, we all used to fight to go to sleep on there because that was the warmest spot in the house.
That was your heat, too, your heat and
your
cooking.
Heat and your baking, and yet, you know, when you weren't baking or it wasn't too hot, then you used it to sit on. As children, we all, you know, enjoyed it. And when we first came here, though, my mother only had my older sister, who is 85 now. Then I was born, and I'll be 84 this month, and a younger brother. And but after we came to that we settled in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then my mother and father had three more children. So there are six of us, and we're still living and enjoying each other.
How did you come from the old country?
We came by boat.
Do you remember anything about it?
Well, we were on the boat for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
14 days. And we stopped in
Where did you start?
From, well, you usually start from a larger city in Europe. It's either Ponevis, which was one of the larger cities, where they had a place where I was so young, I really don't remember the exact. And then we stopped in Holland for a few days, and then we went on to New York, and from New York we came to Pittsburgh because my father had a brother in Pittsburgh. So, and then of course we settled in Pittsburgh. We lived in a little three-room apartment, eight of us. There was no water, no toilet in the house. The water was in the yard. And I don't know how we did it, how my mother did it in those days. And I remember she used to hang the clothes out in the backyard. It would come in stiff, you know, if it was cold. It would have to dry out. And I lived that way until I was 21 years old.
Did you?
When I was 21, my folks finally, my first husband and I, we were going together, and we had $300 saved up. We were going to get started on that. And my brother had $800. And that's how the folks, we gave it all to the folks to buy the house on Locust Street in Pittsburgh. And my single brother still lives there in the old house. And that was I would be married almost 63 years, my daughter 62 years.
So you,
so the year I was going to get married, we moved there in May and I was married in June.
You all lived in the same house then? Your parents?
Yeah, when we were on Carlos Street mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh. But mm-hmm. then when the folks bought this bigger house, then they bought it in May and I got married in June.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't get to enjoy it too much, mm-hmm. only when I would mm-hmm. come with the children.
Mm-hmm. Who sponsored you to come over here, your parents? Did you
Well, no, my father came first.
Uh-huh.
And he was here for about 2 years, I think, or maybe mm-hmm. close to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And saved up enough mm-hmm. money to send for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the way it was done then?
That's the way it was done in uh-huh. those days. Then it was either a father came first mm-hmm. or somebody of the family, uh-huh. and they bought uh-huh. your ticket for uh-huh. you, and that's how you got mm-hmm. to the United States.
Uh-huh.
But you know, all of us, when we came, of course I was very little, but I remember my mother saying, you know, you in Europe you think you're going to the golden land. That the streets are going to be laden with gold, and the trees will, gold will be hanging from the trees. And gee, when we came, it was cobbled streets and horses and buggies, and the same as mm-hmm. they were in Europe. Mm-hmm. And
is that why they came, or was there weren't any pogroms then?
Oh yes, yes, we went through a pogrom.
Did you?
Yes, they used to come marching, the Cossacks or the Russians, come marching through the little village. And we would hear them coming. They'd be coming and singing, and they'd be loud. And my mother would hide all of this. I remember she put me in a barrel. And the other little ones, other two older ones, she would hide them under something in a cupboard somewhere, or mm-hmm. wherever space
mm-hmm.
that she could hide us, until they would go through the little village. And if they came in and found silver and found things or young girls, they were just... But we were all young mm-hmm. in those days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My older sister was 7 and a half and I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was 5, so my mother could
yeah.
hide us yeah. in different spots
yeah.
of the big room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons that they came
That's
over
why
here.
We, yes. People wanted to get away. They
uh-huh.
wanted to go to a free country
mm-hmm.
where they could live like they would like, you know, like
mm-hmm.
they wanted to. And
were there, did your mother and father have a lot of friends, relatives that came over too, for the same reason?
Well, on the boat, usually me, but we had, I had an uncle that came with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he too, then, after he came, he sent for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the way people did in those
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm.
The men would come first and start working and raise,
mm-hmm.
raise a little money, save
mm-hmm.
up a little money, and send for the rest of the
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how most of the immigrants
mm-hmm.
are here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go directly to Pittsburgh, or did you stop in New
well,
York City?
We stopped only for, you know, long
uh-huh.
enough to know where we knew we were going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we got there, I think it was July, and in September, my older sister and I went to school, my brother did too, but they kept us in what they called a greenhorn room.
Mm-hmm.
To teach us how to speak the English language.
Greenhorn room.
And they kept me there for 4 years. But I was especially lucky. We had a young neighbor whose father was a doctor. And this young fellow, he must have been 4 or 5 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come to the house, and he probably liked me because he would bring books and he would teach me English.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the sentence that he taught me, and I would have to say to him as soon as he came in, I cannot understand the eloquence of your vocabulary. That took me a long time to learn how to say, I cannot comprehend the eloquence of your vocabulary. Because he knew so much, I felt he was just so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to read, he knows how to talk, he knows how to, and I would have to say that to him
mm-hmm.
to let him know that that I appreciate what he's teaching me.
Uh-huh.
And then I used to teach the neighbors how to spell it, right, how to write their name and their
mm-hmm.
address
mm-hmm.
so they could go down and apply for their citizenship
mm-hmm.
papers.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to call me the teacher of the neighborhood.
How old were you then when you were doing that?
I must have been 16. I went after high school, after public school. We all got a diploma. I found my diploma from public school.
Mm-hmm.
1914
mm-hmm.
was when I had my 8 years of school.
Yeah.
Well, then by that time I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I went to a high school,
mm-hmm.
and I was only able to be there a year and a half because my parents needed help very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had gone another half year, I could have been teaching school in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always regretted that because I always wanted to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that way because my folks were paying $12 a month rent and my dad wasn't making enough money.
Mm-hmm.
He was a peddler.
Mm-hmm.
And if he'd come home with $1 or $2 a day, my mother was so happy because... And that kept the six of us until I started work when I was about 15 and
uh-huh.
a half,
uh-huh.
close to 16. And I was really the breadwinner of the house.
What did you do?
I was partial bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I would keep books. I was with Frank and Cedars for a while in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was with the Fisher Company in
mm-hmm.
their office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, for about 4 years. Until I was married.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And by that time, though, I was earning really enough, and then the war started.
Mm-hmm.
And when I quit there, I was making $25 a week, and in those days, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember when I came home, and my first husband brought an engagement ring, and we were going to be married and all. My mother says, oh, you're so young. I was 21 years old. What are we going to do without you? Because I was the youngest. Well, my one sister, I was 10 years older than her,
mm-hmm.
12 years older than my younger sister,
mm-hmm.
and my baby brother, I was 18 years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I was really the breadwinner of the family.
Mm-hmm. Was your first husband in World War I?
Mm-hmm.
Was he?
Yeah.
Where was he stationed?
Well, he didn't get overseas.
Oh.
He was still at school at Pitt, I think, in Pittsburgh.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And he was only in a short time. But when he got out, he was so enthused with being in the Army and helping the veterans
mm-hmm.
that from then on you couldn't stop him. He devoted every minute of his time to veterans
mm-hmm.
and veteran work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That when he... After we were married, and they appointed him as commander of the Jewish War Veterans
uh-huh.
of Ohio.
Quite an honor.
And after we were coming home from a meeting, that's when the accident was, and he was killed in an automobile accident.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He was driving, sitting here, I was sitting here, and he must have seen the trailer truck coming, and it was a narrow road, and he held me, and I think that's what kept uh-huh. me alive. So he died instantly, and the lady in sitting in back of him died.
Hmm.
And myself sitting next to him and the lady in back of me, we're both still here talking about it.
Isn't that something?
That was 43 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did he do besides the...
We were always in the grocery business.
Oh, so am I.
You are now?
Mm-hmm. My husband has a grocery store.
Oh, where at?
In Struthers.
In Struthers.
Mm-hmm. Did you know Morris Watson?
Oh, yes.
We bought Morris Watson.
Uh-huh.
So he
I haven't seen him in a long time, but
I
know the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we were here, we originally really came with the Riddick family, Ben Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Riddick and High were sisters and brothers.
Oh.
She was a Greenblatt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having what do you call it, ear trouble.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he needed help, and he was a builder mm-hmm. then, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And an excellent one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's when you came from Pittsburgh?
Well, then High's sister called Mrs. Riddick, and
mm-hmm.
she said, well, Ben has to go to the hospital for a surgery,
mm-hmm.
would you come and help him? He needs somebody to be on the job.
Mm-hmm.
So we came here. We must have come here in 19, when Shirley was only 2 years old, and she's 60 now, 62.
Then in 1920.
So 60 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with Ben, for not even 2 years. But he stopped at this little corner store in former corner Parmley and Covington, and he stopped to get a pair of gloves there. And there was a real nice couple there, and they had a little bit of everything. They had gloves,
mm-hmm.
and they had rubber boots and all these things, and blankets,
mm-hmm.
and it was an excellent little corner. And they wanted to know from High what, why are you here? What are you doing? What have you been doing? And he said, well, originally I'm a grocer. And they said, oh, we want to sell this corner. And I think you would be ideal for this spot. He said, I don't have any money. He said, we just came here, and I don't have any money to buy it. They said, you don't need any money. And but it so happened that Ben really owed High $300 in back pay or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he bought this place for $10,000. There was this corner store, a little apartment upstairs, a garage down the street, and a little house next door, all for $10,000. And we didn't, all we needed was $3,000 to buy it.
Wow.
And he bought it while I was in Pittsburgh visiting my mother.
Surprise.
With Shirley, and he called and he said, Bess, I bought a whole corner and a grocery store. Come back as soon as you can. I need your signature. And that's how we were there for, oh, I think 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how long we were married. So we were there 17 years on that corner.
Mm-hmm. What kind of people lived in the neighborhood?
It was a mixed neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of black people and foreign people and Catholic people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they adopted us. High was so good with everything that when St. Anne's Church would have a dinner, being a grocer, he would get them their potatoes, their onions, their vegetables, a can of peas, get them hams, get them everything they needed for the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So they adopted us as members of St. Anne's Church.
Huh.
So we're a mixed breed.
Were you the only Jews in the neighborhood?
There were maybe one or other two families up the street a piece, but on that corner we were the only one. But quite a lot of Catholic families that we were very close with.
They treated you well then. You didn't run up against any anti-Semitism there.
No, they were all there. Well, you couldn't help love my first husband.
Ah.
He was so good. At the end of the day, if he would have vegetables and soup bones and something like that that he thought he couldn't resell the next day, he would put them in a couple baskets and take them down to the families that had big families and needed help.
Mm-hmm. Was this during the Depression?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Things were pretty bad.
And he would take them food. And if they'd come in and say, well, I can't pay my bills this payday, he says, you see those two cans of beans or peas or whatever on the shelf? You can have one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a way.
Yeah.
So about 2 weeks before the accident, he went to the bank and he doubled the payment on the corner. And then in the meantime, we had bought a beautiful house on Ford Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar on the north side?
Not that much.
I was going to say, because Lombards have that big house on the corner of Ford and Redonda.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought the little house next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most beautiful corner on the whole north side.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, we loved that house. And he only enjoyed it about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to the bank and he made arrangements to double the payments on the corner and the house we bought.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he said, well, Bess, if all goes well, in 5 years, we should have the corner paid for and the house paid for if people are working and pay their bills like they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, a couple of weeks later, the accident happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did you keep the store?
I made up my mind I was going to keep the store for five years. And my customers were great to me.
Were your children old enough to help?
Well, my Shirley was almost 18.
Mm-hmm.
She was 17 and a half, I think. And she went into nurse's training before High died.
Mm-hmm.
But when he died, she wanted to be with me in the store because she felt I needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I had another little girl and a boy. My Chucky was only 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in those days, the nursing, they wouldn't give her leave of absence. And she said, well, she wouldn't go back on any other because I want to be with my mother for at least 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, so she lost the deposit and everything else, and she got discouraged, and everyone back to nursing.
Uh-huh.
But she did take up doctor's assistant, I insisted, about, almost a year later that she go back. So she did, went to Ohio State and took up nursing assistant and worked for a doctor, Dr. Steinberg, yeah, she worked for him most of the time. And my younger daughter, too, she also wanted to do that type of work. So she, too, worked for a doctor, for Dr. Simser. And but she was married when she was very young. But Shirley got married. She waited for Maury Kessler to come home from the Army. He was in the Army for, I don't know, 3.5 or 4 years. So she got married. And then my Chucky, he was only 9 years old when his father died. So, of course, I did all I could. I would take him to Boy Scout meetings, and he became an Eagle Scout. And then he did very well in high school, and then he was accepted in Harvard. He's a Harvard cum laude graduate.
Very good.
And went in for medicine. I went to one of the best medical schools in Philadelphia, one of the oldest. I think at that time it said they were something like 350 years old. He was disappointed because he did want to go to Harvard, but there was a quota of some kind, and they took, I think, most of those that were in that area or something, they divided it. So he didn't get in there, but he did get in a very fine medical school. And then he interned, but when he was going through all that, he would come home and he'd say, Bessie, I'll never be able to pay you what you're spending. You send me through medical school. I says, well, Chuck, I'll never hold anything heavy over your head, and I'll go out and scrub floors, but I do want to see you get your MD because I think so many more doors will be open for you. And so it was. Now he's on a sabbatical. He got married and married a girl, a Bostonian girl, because he went to Harvard, so he met her. And they have four daughters. Two are in Israel. Chuck's been in Israel 15 years.
Have you been there?
Oh, I've been there four times.
Tell me about it.
Well, you can't help but love that country. I love the people for what they're doing and their courage and their spirit. And they don't complain. And they give back the biggest part of their pay. And they're happy with what they have. And they live mostly on vegetables in season. And their season is really most of the year outside of a couple of very hot months when they can't raise when things burn up.
Did your granddaughters would be over there too?
I have two granddaughters.
Did they serve in the Army?
They all but the oldest. The oldest girl wouldn't serve. So she came back to the United States and settled first in Boston. She was there. Well, she's an Oberlin graduate. So she's had fine education too. And she lived in Boston for a while, and then she settled in California. And then another sister got married, married an Israeli boy, though, and also went to California, and she's there. But she hopes to go back to Israel.
When they go to Israel and live there for a long time, do they give up their United States?
No,
no. They have dual
citizens? Chuck is a dual, he's an American citizen as well as an Israeli. They have 3 years if they can decide what they want to do. Now I have a grandson, my older girl's son went there and liked it so well that he was in a kibbutz for more than a year, almost 2 years. Also married a nice Israeli girl, and now he has two boys. The other day I get a call, I pick up the phone, and I hear a young man's voice, and he says, Basha, it's Howie. He always called me by my Jewish name, Basha. And I said, where are you? His voice was so clear. He said, I'm in Israel. He said, but I remembered that a long time ago you told me your birthday was the sixth candle that we lit just yesterday. He said, and I remember you always told us. And he says, I know. I said, now my birthday's the 29th of December. He says, well, the dates change from the Jewish So he said, I remembered it was your birthday. Now here's a young man that's earning very little, that spent about $15-$18 to make the call from Israel. And I was so thrilled with that.
That's very nice.
It's true. Another nice thing happened early this week. But Wednesday, we started our candle lighting.
Yeah.
So I decided the night before, I called all the Jewish folks in the building, mm-hmm. and I said, at 4:30, I'm going to be down in the lobby, and I will light the candle and say the prayer, and I want you all to be down. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've been doing. So the first night I made potato pancakes. Mm. The next night I made a double batch because I didn't have too many to pass out the first one. The first day I only gave them one apiece. Mm-hmm. And I brought enough napkins. Mm-hmm. And the smell of the potato pancakes was all over the place.
You should have invited me.
So then the next night I made a double batch. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I had enough to give everybody two. Mm-hmm. And every evening I've been getting, well, the first couple nights I had 10, 12. Last night I didn't have too many, a couple mm-hmm. girls didn't yeah. feel good. And, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and Sunday I couldn't have because I was invited out for the mm-hmm. whole day. Mm-hmm. But Sunday we had a drawing. We had the Little Children of Israel Temple. Mm-hmm. We sold raffle tickets, $25 a book. Well, I sold 38 books. But I sent... At first I was going to send four books. I have a wealthy grandson in California. So his mother-in-law says, who was really Nick's daughter, she's really my stepdaughter, mm-hmm. she said, don't send him four books, call him. She's because he settled, sold his business and made quite a lot of money. Mm-hmm. She's call him and see what he'll do for you. So I called him this one evening, one late afternoon, because there's a 3-hour difference from mm-hmm. California. Mm-hmm. And I said, Michael, this is your grandmother from Youngstown. And we're trying to raise some money for our little temple. What can you do? He says, who do you want me to make the check out to? As quick as that, I didn't even give him a chance to make any explanation. I couldn't even use the sales tool. which I had all written out on the pad, what I was going to say to him. He says, who should I make a check out to? Mm-hmm. I said, the Children of Israel congregation. He says,
is that a new congregation?
No, they're the oldest congregation in Youngstown. They're one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm. Is it Orthodox?
Very Orthodox.
Uh-huh.
With my first marriage, we were very conservative. We mm-hmm. were the NCMs in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, I merged with the NCMs and the other, I can't think of the name, the other temple. There was a merge in mm-hmm. there. So now they call it Ellenmuth.
Mm-hmm. Is that the new one? They built the new one up on Logan?
On Logan. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then last year, we were asked to join them because we were on corner 5th Avenue there and Alameda, mm-hmm. and the neighborhood was getting bad. Mm-hmm. That's why I had to sell my house, because mm-hmm. I lived right on 4th Avenue, mm-hmm. and I was attacked and robbed, and my girls wouldn't let me live there mm-hmm. alone anymore mm-hmm. because Nick died, and I did live alone for about a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and they worried about me daily.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when that happened, they wouldn't let me live there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So then we joined them. And we paid them $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't paid all of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to raise some money to pay off the rest of the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he says, I'll send you a check.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask him how much or what. I thought, well, he would, you know, send $100 or $200.
Mm-hmm.
So he called his wife and he says, what do you think? Your grandma from Youngstown called and she's clerking for the little temple. He says, what do you think I should send them? She said, oh, send them $500. So sure enough, about a week later, I got a check for $500. Well, that entitled them to 20 books.
Mm-hmm.
So here, this last Sunday, we raffled off all the books. Mm-hmm. I myself sold about 38 books. But they were entitled to 20 books.
Mm-hmm.
So I put their names. My stepdaughter couldn't even take time to come and help me write out all the stubs. I had to have their name, their address, their telephone number. So I had 60 tickets to write up. I spent a whole evening writing out all these mm-hmm. tickets. Well, sure enough, Sunday we had this Hanukkah party at the Children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And at first we had music. And then after the music is about 4:30, they start mixing up all these tickets, mm-hmm. to, because the first prize was $1,000, the second prize was a $250 Israel bond, the third prize was a 19-inch color TV. So they called those two first. Then he calls a little boy to dig in and pick out the number. And sure enough, this little fella picks out a number and holds it up, and he said, Sid Taub reads, and I, Michael Minson. Oh, I screamed and I yelled. And that was the ticket I wrote out. And he won the $1,000. So then I couldn't wait until I called him at night. I had to wait till 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I called Sylvia, who was his mother-in-law, mm-hmm. and I said, when do you think I should call Michael and tell him that he won the $1,000? Michael and Lonnie is his wife. Mm-hmm. She's with a TV, with a producer at a very high job, mm-hmm. in California. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you better wait until about 9 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock there, because mm-hmm. they're having a Hanukkah dinner, mm-hmm. and they're having a lot of people mm-hmm. there. So sure enough, I called at 9 o'clock, and Lonnie answers, what's wrong, what's wrong? You know, because I had called her in the morning and wished them a happy anniversary. It was her 11th or 12th anniversary. And I had just called them in the morning. She said, what's wrong? What happened? Is anybody sick? I said, no, Michael won the $1,000. So she said, Michael, come to the telephone. So Michael gets called and I said, Michael, you won $1,000. What do you want to do with it? He says, I want to give it back to the temple in memory of my grandfather, Nick Joseph. Mm-hmm. So he gave it all back, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which means that the temple is $1,500 a year.
Good.
$500 that he originally sent me, mm-hmm. and the $1,000 that they would have had to give him. Mm-hmm.
Did you always follow all the customs, the Jewish customs?
I do. Uh-huh. I do. Uh-huh. It was, my first husband was very liberal, mm-hmm. but when I remarried Nick Joseph, he was very orthodox, mm-hmm. and I had to change my way of living mm-hmm. entirely.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult for you to change
that? At first it was, yeah. because my first husband was much younger. Mm-hmm.
What would be the difference?
Well, we were younger.
Yeah.
And we danced and we did different things. Mm-hmm. Well, Nick was quite a bit older.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Orthodox.
And the Orthodox. And I couldn't get him to do the things that I was doing when mm-hmm. I was younger. Mm-hmm. But he was a very fine man mm-hmm. and very easy to live with. Mm-hmm. But I made up my mind I was going to follow his mm-hmm. way of living. Mm-hmm. So then I joined the Orthodox temple. Mm-hmm. So I'm a member of both temples. Uh-huh. But when my time comes, when my time is up, I'll be buried though next to my first husband.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did you cook kosher for your first husband?
Well, he was a cook. We had a restaurant.
Oh.
Very fine little restaurant uh-huh. that we served most men and almost on a kosher style, mm-hmm. like mushroom bali soup, the Hungarian way. Mm-hmm. He was a Hungarian, mm-hmm. and he was an excellent cook. Mm-hmm. And this is what he did in the First World War. Mm-hmm. So he started this little restaurant really through the... not the American Legion, the Shrine Club. They wanted a place for a meeting hall, and they wanted a place where they could eat. Mm-hmm. And we had the upstairs and plenty of room. Mm-hmm. So they had their meetings in one room, and we had the restaurant in the other room. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then we had another one or two little rooms. Mm-hmm. The union men used to meet, and most of the attorneys, mm-hmm. the judges and the doctors mm-hmm. and the lawyers, most men mm-hmm. came because mm-hmm. they liked our food. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And we were there for 22 years.
Where was it?
Upstairs.
Oh.
On South Street, North South Street.
Ah.
No, it was really South South Street.
What's the name of it?
Joseph's Restaurant.
Yes, see. Joseph's Restaurant. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Commercial Club at one time. The Progress Club.
It's not there anymore, is it?
Oh, no. The place burned down. Uh-huh. We sold it to a Chinese family. Mm-hmm. And they were only there a short time. Mm-hmm. And then the place got so old. I think I read in the paper not too long ago they were throwing down the whole building.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Zionism started really coming into
being? we belong to everything that, that is in the community.
Mm-hmm.
The B'nai B'rith,
mm-hmm.
the Jewish war veterans,
mm-hmm.
And both temples.
Mm-hmm.
So we belonged everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Did you have that, something you're saying, that little blue box?
Yeah, where we put in
push
a push-bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, mine is full. I'm waiting
mm-hmm.
for someone to... If I don't like my candles on Friday night, like I should, I'll put in 18 cents.
Ah, uh-huh.
And that way it gathers.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with that? You just...
Well, we turn it in. There's a United Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And they send all this money to Israel to buy trees.
Ah.
And they plant, millions of trees with
mm-hmm.
that money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that's what they did with it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go towards any of the universities over there, or?
Well, no, I think...
Hadassah sponsors something like
that. Well, now, the Hadassah sponsors the Hadassah Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my Chuck has his lab there.
Mm-hmm.
And now they built a new section there, a whole floor of, I don't know how many rooms. And he is in charge of about 35 or 40 doctors
mm-hmm.
and scientists and
mm-hmm.
nurses, and
mm-hmm.
and he's in charge of that whole floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he has quite an important position up
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But Hadassah really sent him there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he's been there 15 years now.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he loves it. Loves the people, loves what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And has made some beautiful friends. And when I got there in December, I celebrated my 83rd birthday there. I went with my older girl, Shirley, and her husband,
mm-hmm.
and their 14-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
So we were only there about 12 days
mm-hmm.
because Josh had to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, and Chuck introduced me to a couple of the doctors and a couple of his secretaries, and they make you feel 10 feet tall.
Ah.
They said, what an honor to meet the doctor's mother. And I felt like I was just so elated.
That's
nice.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I stay busy with everything. And
mm-hmm.
I have one more candle to light tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get back early enough, maybe I'll make some potato pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
I get back early enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I don't know. I'm president of the Ladies Auxiliary of the Jewish War Veterans. I've been president of that for 20
mm-hmm.
years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And every spring of the year,
is that a large group?
Still? Not anymore. I used to have quite a group,
uh-huh.
but every year it seems I lose a few members
mm-hmm.
because we're all getting older.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been doing this for 20 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my main projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold a party with my members. For this last year, we started off with 40 retarded children, 50, went up to 60, went up to 80. Then when I had 120, I thought I had an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
Went up to 150, 180 this last year. When I called a lady and I said, how much money will you need? She said, I have about 200 coming. So I gathered $100 and I
mm-hmm.
sent her that.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the Pepsi-Cola people and
mm-hmm.
they donated 6 cases
mm-hmm.
of small assorted pop.
Mm-hmm.
And up until the last couple of years, my daughters and their husbands and I, we used to go up and we used to help serve all these
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
And we would dance with them and entertain them. But lately they moved out to, we got in Austin Town somewhere there,
mm-hmm.
to a very big hall because
yeah.
they've been getting so many
uh-huh.
children there.
Uh-huh.
But this is what I do every year.
So you keep busy?
So I keep busy raising money,
mm-hmm.
spending money. raising money for organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm secretary of the Children of Israel.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I stay busy with a lot of projects.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have too much time to get lonesome or to...
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're making money. Oh.
Did I tell you not?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking to see here.
Yeah, anything else you want to know?
You answered a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. All right. Nothing else you want